the fact is that there has been numerous studies, especially on mice, that the less you eat, the longer you live. Like, it's a fact that eating, it takes a toll on our body. The digestive process takes a toll on our bodies.
What about needing all the protein to build the muscle?
Well, again, it's like, I think, so where I come to it, and this is why for me, I don't like to give nutrition advice, because I truly believe that us as individuals have to find our path that works for us.
Yeah.
Every single one of us, like, and I'll give you a prime example. It's even outside of inside of your family. So like, my brother and I eat totally different, and we're brothers.
Yeah, same
genes, blood work, right. Same mom and dad.
Yeah.
And we eat totally different, and he looks fantastic. He's 3 years younger than me, looks amazing. And by the way, that's one of the things I wanted to add on this podcast. So when I first met you, and I always, and I hope you feel the same, but like, there's always a moment where you meet people that it's like, you instantly know that you're gonna be boys, or you're gonna be friends.
Right.
And it's like, as soon as I mean, you opened your mouth and I was like, oh, I love this guy. And then what's funny is I went to your Instagram like immediately.
Right.
And I'm like scrolling down it, and I get to this picture of your family.
Yeah.
And I remember I text you. I was like, how is it possible how good looking your family is? Like, he has like 12 people in this picture, and it's actually like everybody outdoes the next person next to him. Like, it just gets better and better and better. You have one of the best looking families I've ever seen in my life. It was awesome. But I say that to say that even in your big family, I guarantee you, y'all are all good looking, healthy people.
That's true.
But I bet they all do it differently.
My oldest brother, or second oldest brother, he's early 60s. He's always been in better shape than me. Like, even where at his age now, he can eat anything.
Whatever he wants.
We all hate those people, right? If I did what he did, I'd be a hot air balloon, man.
Yep.
I'd be huge. So yeah, it is. You're right. Within the family and all.
And I think, like, also too, you have to find the schedule that works for you. You know, we just talked about the intermittent fasting. Like,
totally.
Like, it might not work
for it on travel.
Yeah, exactly. It might not work for somebody's schedule.
Right.
Well, what are you doing here in Miami? Vacation or?
A little work remote, little vacay, and getting some meetings and things like that done. It's good sometimes to just get out of your comfort zone, out of your home base. And so I like to take a week and just go somewhere, work, chill, relax, regroup, recharge, and then go back.
Love that.
Yeah.
And tell, just so people know a little bit about your background, tell a little bit about your company and like who, you know, what you do.
Yeah, so we're family business, 66 years now. We've been going, my father started it. Dad passed away, it was 2020, April 27, 2020, but he's really the backbone of everything that we do. That guy came from nothing, family came over from Sicily, self-made guy, just one of a kind. And so he started this awesome company. And my brothers and I had the great fortune of being able to walk into something that had already been established to a large extent. And, you know, our dad always said to us, nothing wrong with walking into an opportunity, but if you don't take that opportunity and grow it tenfold, you're a loser. I mean, that's basically where his words. So we're a full service commercial real estate firm. We do development across the country. And it's run by myself and my brothers. We've got 300 employees. We're based in St. Louis, but we got offices all across the United States.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love what you just said, because I always believe that it's always the next generation's duty or role to learn from the previous generation and do better. Like, no if question. We're not, like, my dad laid a foundation for me, and if I'm not taking that and then improving it, and then leaving my child with the net, like, every generation should just get better and better and better.
Absolutely, no question. I mean, I think about, like, you know, what he had to do. I mean, we have the luxury, and when I say we, my brothers, our we don't call them employees, our associates, our team members. Okay. We have the luxury of being able to pick up the phone, call any real estate company in the country, say our name, and if they don't know us, they can go to our website, look us up, and you'll have instant credibility.
Right.
My dad had none of that. I mean, he had no money, he had no history, no background. It's like, for him to do what he did, and now for us to have this platform, it's like, it's 100% our duty to grow that platform 100 times from where it started.
Right.
And it's not just our duty, it's not just the owner's duty, it's like our entire team's duty.
Right.
To carry his legacy on, and then when I'm gone, the people that take it over, it's in their duty, and it just keeps going and going. And like you said, they get more smart, more strategic, and you hope that the people working under you get better than you and right. grow it even more.
Exactly. I actually, that was another thing that I noticed on your website, you know, just legacy. And you had legacy on your website. Right. And then I was like, you know, and I see that a lot, but like the way you guys paid homage to your dad and the way he's like, there's something very reverent about it. Like very, I don't think people, I find a disconnect, and obviously y'all have figured this out, but I have found a disconnect between giving honor to those that set the platform to, like, for example, like our athletes today. Like I find it, like, I don't see as much like giving respect for the people that set things up for them to give you an opportunity to be great. Like someone came before you, someone laid a foundation, and especially in business. And I think when you come on to an organization, if you don't know where that organization came from, then you're not going to be able to represent and take advantage of that platform that they gave you and take it and go full circle. And I've just kind of watched you from afar, and things like your circular conference room table. I immediately changed my drawing and my thing, like, you know, leading by example. And that's one of them. Like, to me, that is such a leading by example moment for all companies to see that it's not about one person sitting at the top of the table. It's about a group of people, a group of like-minded people coming up with the best practices and strategies and systems that you can to execute. Tell me a little bit about, is there certain systems and procedures and things that you guys have put in place to carry on that legacy? Because It sounds like you have such a strong culture of a team atmosphere. So is there anything specific that y'all have done to
help that? I mean, first of all, you're spot on with everything you just said. You nailed it about athletes and people, that there's always somebody before you, no matter who you are. And there's always somebody that cracked a door open or gave you an opportunity. But to think like that, you have to have humility. Yeah. And I think humility to some extent is lost with a lot of folks. And our competitive advantage, if you will, is our culture and preserving our history. Mm-hmm. You know, you see these huge companies that have massive success and then they go under. I think one of the main reasons is they forget where they came from. It's like anything else, you know, a boxer, a fighter, or what have you, when they're needing to get back on track, they go back to the basics, right?
Right.
You know,
it's exactly. all that, every all time
that it is.
It's the Rocky.
It's exactly. And so you nailed it about your people needing to know that history and knowing where you came from. The reason why we preserve it, first of all, it's our father. He was the man. He was our best friend, and he was the founder. So we're always going to preserve his legacy.
Yeah.
But it's good for business. It's good that the people that join your company know where you came from. And my brothers and I were sitting around, I think it was last year, and we're like, we were talking, and we meet every week, just the three of us. And I'm like, you know, there's a lot of people in this office that never met dad. You know, it just kind of dawned on me that, because we had so many new hires.
Yeah.
And we started talking, we're like, man, we cannot have people not know who he was. So we implemented this orientation deal where they come in, they do the typical orientation stuff, but then they see a video of my father receiving this award when he was about 89 years old. And in 5 minutes, he describes his entire life. He says what his grandma said to him about the United States, how he called it the old country, that in Italy, if you're born poor, you die poor. But in the United States, if you get an education and you work hard, you can be and do whatever you want to be. And he says that in his speech.
Yeah,
and
that's amazing.
He honors my mom. He honors our team members and associates. He honors his family. It's like all right there. So everybody sees that video.
Love it.
And then they get a history on our core values, but not just like, oh, teamwork, faith, creativity, hard work, but the reasoning behind each core value.
Right.
There's a story.
Yeah.
And then they see the history of the company, how dad started it. And the best part is their first day of work, we go into his office. We've never changed his office.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And one of my brothers or me will sit down with that person. Every single person that's hired in the St. Louis office, we'll sit down with them and we'll quiz them on the history.
I love it.
On
yeah.
the core values.
Yeah.
And, but they, people really eat that up because they want to be part of something really special too.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, like everybody can sell real estate. Everybody can make money. Everybody can make business deals. Your competitive advantage is, you know, it's your culture.
Yeah.
And we work really, really, really hard to have everybody buy into that culture. And that's it.
Yeah. And also too, just to your point, real estate's real estate.
Yeah.
Whatever. But having a cause that is worthy of representing, right? So if you're representing something bigger than a product, bigger than a job, bigger than a task, if it stands for something, then you're probably gonna stick around, you're gonna work harder, you're gonna have more, you know, you're gonna be more engaged. Like,
and there's always a deeper meaning to what you're doing. Like, okay, we're developers, so we develop warehouses and retail centers around the country. Okay, that's cool. But what we're really doing, we're improving communities. Yeah. We're taking areas that, you know, have environmental issues, that have abandoned buildings, and we're creating jobs. We're creating all kinds. We're creating real estate value for the neighbors around, you know, and then for the brokers, you said, you know, legacy. We literally, our slogan is our legacy is built on creating yours. That's for the third party business side of things. Like, brokers will find homes for people's businesses, right? Mm-hmm. They're not just leasing space. They're taking somebody that's got a business, that's got a legacy, that wants to create something for themselves, and they're helping them find a home.
Right.
So when you start thinking more beyond just like the commission or the lease or the development and go deeper with it, it's got a far, far deeper purpose.
Go beyond the transaction.
Go beyond the transaction.
Exactly. It shouldn't always be transactional.
No, man.
It can be.
And don't think so much about the transaction.
Exactly.
Think about improving the community. Think about your client finding them a great space so that they can start their dream. If you think like that, the dollars and the success come later.
Yeah. And it's interesting that you say that because we're in the service industry. But it almost like you're setting your people up to also be in the service industry.
No question.
Because you are.
We are.
Like, you are in the service industry. And I think that most people probably wouldn't look at it like that. But anytime you come from a place of serving others,
bingo,
you're going to end up being in a better place. Like, they're going to trust you. They're going to follow through. They're going to, like I said, they're just going to be more into the whole transaction thing.
So. Well, your motivation's outside yourself then.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is way more powerful.
I love that. You recently also did these like, and forgive me, I probably forgot, but they're like plaques or something that y'all are doing. What is that for?
You mean for the Hall of Fame
people? Yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah, so just people.
Was it a shovel?
Well, there's shovels in that.
Yeah.
But the other, I guess, the thing that we really focus on is our people, celebrating our people.
Yeah.
You know, my dad, he always was so great with that. He was such a humble guy, but he constantly ingrained in our thinking, you're only as good as the people that you have around you. And it's like, we would have no success if it weren't for our team, you know? And you know, you and I have talked about it on your trainers and stuff in the group classes, like they make your culture,
right.
You know? And so investing in our people and honoring them and letting them know how much they're appreciated is a big thing that we do. So we have we call it the Wall of Fame, but it's folks that have essentially spent their career with us. You know, we want to honor those people.
Yeah.
You know, we have core value awards that we do on a monthly basis where people that have demonstrated our core values, we showcase it. And we want to showcase it to the whole company. You know, and there's a lot of different things that we do for our folks, but people want to feel, they want to be a part of something and they want to feel like they're needed and that they're appreciated. Yep. So we go out of our way to do that.
People work harder when they feel appreciated.
Right?
For sure.
I mean, I know it's simple, but it's like, well, oftentimes you forget that.
I think the simplicity of it is what makes it great, because it's not over. You're not coming up with some formula to give people a reward. No, you're just paying attention to the little things. And if they do that, then you reward them. So
I'm glad you noticed that round boardroom table. That was a big thing. Or
was that recent, or is that just something that's always been there?
My dad.
Your dad did that?
He said, there's no head, and we're not going to have a head here.
Yeah.
We're all a team, and it's going to be a round table. And so
I kid you not.
It's,
you can ask my architect. So I called my architect because we're designing a new headquarters. Yeah. And I called him and I said, we're redesigning the conference room. And he's like, what do you mean? I said, we're going to make it circular instead of, and I go, and I want to, and then this is, and let me tell you something. This is the power of what you're doing, is because you posted that and talked about it. I saw it. I implemented it. And guess what? My architect also implemented
no
it
way.
In his office.
That's so cool.
So, you know, let's talk about that. Like, I think a lot of times we go through life thinking that we're only influencing the people that are like maybe within the reach, but we live in a world now where we can actually influence the whole world, And I don't know if you have you, cause I think a lot of, I think our connection too was during kind of the pandemic time.
Yeah, it was.
And we really fed off each other from a standpoint of just kind of standing on freedom and faith and things like that. I mean, have you had any recent moments where maybe you're, cause you post a lot of good stuff. And I know you don't have a huge following on Instagram, but I guarantee you, you've had some moments where it probably surprised you, cause it does to me even. And like where someone will reach out and say that you did something to help them. Have you had anything like that happen?
Yeah, I have. And you know, you're right. I mean, the world is so small now, and it's just, the reason why, because I don't care about my following, whether it's big or small, because you know you're impacting one person.
Exactly. All it takes is one.
It's all it takes is one. And the reason why I do those posts too is because I've been impacted by other people when they've posted things. You know, yourself, my buddy Pedros, my buddy John Chaplack, heck, even big old Michael Hearn. You know, all those guys, like, you know, they have influence, and you'll just see one thing and it hits home to you. And I know the kind of impact that's had on me with like discipline and lifestyle.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you can help one person, it's awesome. And I think you talked about duty. I think as human beings, each one of us have a duty to be the best we possibly can be. So to get better every day, but to also help each other out and to leave this place better for having lived here in this world.
Yeah.
And like, I'll get just random people that might send a message. It's like, hey man, I needed that today. Or, you know, thanks for doing that. That helped me with such and such. And it's like, I think as all of us as human beings underestimate the power that we have to impact the entire world.
Yep.
You know? And it's like, you think, oh, well, you got to have a million followers to be able to do that or whatever. And
you, not in today's world.
Not in today's world, man. You can literally change the world by one action, because you do that to one person. And just like you said, then that person goes and does it. Then that person.
I've seen some of the biggest viral moments come from
that, right?
Someone that didn't have a following.
Yeah.
And then someone reposted it that has a big following.
Yes.
So, you know, and then to go back what you said, that is No Days Off, by the way. So No Days Off has never taken a day off on you.
I love that slogan.
It's a commitment to becoming your best self every single day. And the reason why you have to take no days off on yourself is because when you do that, you are actually taking no days off on the people around you, because it has to start with you.
100%.
And if you can't manage yourself, then you're not going to help the people around you, and especially the people closest to you. So I love that you said that.
And people talk about like spreading love and all of that.
Yeah.
You're spreading love in the world when you're taking care of yourself too.
Yep.
When you're taking care of yourself, treating yourself right, putting the right stuff in your system, that's actually spreading positivity all around you.
100%.
Because people see that, people notice that.
You're leading by example. You're setting a standard of excellence too. That's another thing too. Like I'm not saying this is universal or anything, but there's a disconnect for some reason about, we celebrate the laziness, the mediocrity, and we're not celebrating the person that actually is being disciplined. The person that, like, it's a very weird situation. And again, not everybody, but the maybe the public, you know, it seems like that. So
Well, yeah, because I mean, like, society, you know, makes you think that, you know, happiness is, which is great, but, you know, sitting on the beach with a coconut drink, you know, they don't think of it as getting up at, you know, 4 or 5 a.m. and having a killer workout and enjoying your day. Both are great. I'm not like one way or the other.
It's literally both.
But society hasn't embraced that other as a way to, you know, have some fulfillment.
Yep.
So
you look better than you ever have.
That's good.
And
because you see me in
because I've seen you out of shape. Quarters. I've seen you getting there, and then
you've seen me swollen too.
Yeah.
Like, not in a good way.
No, exactly. What do you think? Why are you all dialed in right now? What's the biggest changes you made in terms of your daily commitment to being the best self?
Yeah. I'll tell you what got me on a really good track is that damn 75 hard program.
Okay.
All right, that, you know, Andy Frisella.
Yeah, of course.
They're all based in St. Louis. Great guys, good buddies. But that program, you know, everybody needs to have a program that works for them. But it dialed me in because you got to do 2 workouts a day, and one of them needs to be outside. And no cheat meals and no booze. And it's for 75 days. So now I do that every year.
Yeah.
But what it is, it's like a reset. But a lot of that's become habit now. So back at home, I do that outdoor workout 5 times a week. It's a 45 minute walk. It's nothing. Okay. But I get my workout in the morning. But doing that outdoor walk outside every day, regardless of the weather, 5 days a week is for me, it's game changing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like it's anything else, it's what you put in your body. Nutrition's kind of been.
Yeah.
But I think way better.
I love the fact that. So what?
And he's in not as much booze.
Yeah. Well, 75 hard from, you know, obviously it's a viral movement that a bunch of people have done.
And yeah.
I've kind of paid attention to it. I used to make fun of the people that wouldn't stick to it. So I would tell them, like, you know, what are you, 75 soft? Like, what's happening right now?
Right.
And because they would quit like on day 30.
Like a hybrid of it.
Yeah. I'm like, come on. But I think I did a video one time where I was like, 75 hard, I do this 365, you know, like whatever. Right. But one thing that I think that 75 hard does, first of all, is that I think we reward ourselves too soon before we've done anything.
Yeah.
And what I love about 75 hard is it's like, no, it's 75 days straight.
Yeah.
And you're not allowed to cheat. And if you cheat, you have to start over.
Yeah.
And I see a lot of people that diet, and they diet for 5 days, and they're like, woohoo, let's go eat a large pizza now, because I went 5 days without eating a carb. And it's like, no. First of all, you can't reset your metabolism or reset your body doing that. Like, you have to commit to something. And then anything easy doesn't work.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't work.
And you know what that program also does? It brings awareness to how the excuses that you can make for yourself.
Yeah.
When I first did that program was when my dad passed away. Cause he was always like, man, you drink too much. You don't hit the booze as hard as you did. So yeah. I thought, you know what, I'm gonna do this. And there was his celebration of life service that we did.
Mm.
There was like 2 work retreats where all the guys were gonna do is booze. There was a wedding, there was a trip. And so it's all this stuff.
Yeah.
But I just did it. And so every year now when I go to do it, there's stuff, there's trips.
Always.
And so we make so many excuses, mm-hmm. and it's all BS. And so that's just been a good program to just get things dialed in and realize the excuses we make for ourselves. But the other thing too, when I'm sure you can relate to this, when I get dialed in physically, everything else improves. Everything.
Every time, right?
I mean,
every time.
The work, the amount of deals we got going,
right?
Everything. So we've made a huge push with our company on physical health, because it's going to directly result in productivity. So we do different challenges for these people now every year. We got everybody a gym membership, the whole company.
Love that.
You know, it's a credit, so they can get anywhere from, I don't know what it's like, $30 up to $120, depending on what tier to use toward a gym. But like everybody in the entire company can get a membership at a Club Fitness or something else, and it's totally covered. And then we do these different challenges in that, but it literally helps production.
When 100%.
People are in shape, they're gonna perform better and everything else. So for me now, it's almost like a duty to, you gotta stay in shape because you gotta lead by example and you gotta bring your best effort at work.
Right, and you know what it does to you. Commitment and consistency regardless of circumstances is what I heard basically you said. And I've been preaching that for years, is that there's always gonna be a birthday party.
Always.
There's always gonna be a gathering. Yeah, there's always gonna be a celebration. There's always gonna be vacation. There's always gonna be sorrow. There's always, I call it when life happens.
Yeah.
When life happens, how do you respond?
Yeah.
You know? And so to me, if you once you say you're gonna do something, then you have to commit to that regardless of what comes after that.
No question. You know? Saying it to yourself is everything. I mean, if you commit to something, and then you don't follow through with it, I don't know how you can expect other people to trust anything you have to say.
Yeah.
And you know, I've done that 75 program before, where I had to start all over a couple mm-hmm. times. And you know, I don't look at it as failure. I think it would be failure if I didn't start all over. But I look at it as, all right, what did I just learn from that? What did I just screw up? And how can I do that better the next go around? And the other reason I like that and things, programs like that, is it's a practice of discipline,
mm-hmm.
which is nothing more than a muscle, like training your bicep. Practicing that discipline all the time is, for me, huge. If I would have come to Miami 8 years ago and spent a week here, I don't think I'd be able to do it, because I would have gone out every night till 4 in the morning. You know, but when you start practicing your discipline over and over and over, it's like a muscle like anything else. You're just better, man.
And you've come to the gym every day you've been here. So almost.
Yeah,
almost,
but not 5 a.m. No, every day.
Yeah, yeah.
I've done every day, but I haven't done but that's the other thing. Like, the reason why not the 5 is because I've had late dinners, right?
Yeah.
So I thought about that. I'm like, all right, am I gonna just do it to say, okay, I can show up at 5, or am I gonna be smart about this and make sure my body has proper recovery and rest?
Right.
So that's why I've been doing it.
Yep. And that's a smart decision.
Which is,
And especially while you're on, you know, workcation.
Remote, vacation, whatever it is,
It's about make it work and not force it.
That's intentional, you know? Though.
Yeah.
Is just like you said, when life happens, like, it's intentional to make sure that I'm getting here while I'm here.
Yeah.
Because you can fall off the wagon just in whatever it is in life so quickly.
Oh yeah.
And it's as small as just, oh, I'm gonna sit by the pool this afternoon instead of hitting the gym.
Yeah.
It's just little things.
Well,
it sneaks up on you.
Because those little things compound.
Right.
And it's those choices. So we have an opportunity to make this choice or that choice every single day.
Every day.
And it's like all these little choices that you make start to compound. So if you're making positive choices, they'll compound in a good way. If you're making negative choices, they're gonna compound in a different way. So yeah, I mean, you gotta make the right choices, especially when you know what you want out of life, right? Like, you don't wanna go back to St. Louis worse than you left. You wanna go back better.
100%.
You know? You wanna go back rested with a tan, you know? And feeling good.
Yeah.
So,
you know, and the other thing you had asked, like, well, what are you doing now or whatever, it's different. And everybody always talks about, oh, gratitude and be grateful and all that.
Yeah.
The first thing when I wake up, and when I mean wake up, when my mind is like aware that I'm awake.
Okay.
Okay. So my eyes open. I'm like, okay, where am I? I'm in this. All right. I know where I am. Right then, as I think of what I'm thankful for. So before phone, before I'm getting up and getting in the shower. So my mind is getting tuned to start the day being thankful. And I am telling you, it's been game changing for me.
You're operating in a space of gratefulness.
Right when you start, and some of the things that pop up in my mind, like regardless of external circumstances, it's like, damn, I woke up, I'm alive.
Yep.
Wow, my limbs work. I'm healthy. I get to have another day to get after it. And it just changes entire mindset. And so different, because I've tried to like writing it down, and that's cool, writing it down. But when you, it's almost like subconscious, it's like ingrained in your brain. The moment you wake up, it's the first thing you think about. Mm-hmm. And then I might later like write some things down in, on paper in a journal or whatever. But that's been huge for me.
Well, we become the things we tell ourselves. And if people don't start paying attention to the voices in their head, and if you lie to yourself and say that you're not talking to yourself all day long, then there's something wrong with you. Then you're empty up there.
Two voices.
Yeah, exactly. But like, I'm constantly talking to myself, like constantly. And when I hear negative voices in my head, I'm always speaking life to myself back.
That's great awareness.
And you have to do that. Like you have to notice when you're doing it out loud. Like say you respond in a poor way to somebody, you know, that you you react instead of responding.
I do it a ton.
Then, you know, like we're all guilty of it, you know? If you don't correct that and be aware of that and then say it to yourself, and my wife definitely has helped me with that, you know, because they're quick to remind you of like when you're not.
Your reaction
time. Yeah, my reaction or lack of patience or whatever. But what it's done for me though is it's really made me be a lot more self-aware and then speak the correct way and say, and so next time when it happens, that voice pops up in your head. Hey, here it is again. Now respond a different way. So I love the fact that you start your day like that. Like
you speak to yourself in the third person.
I don't do that. Yeah. I don't do that. I find that to be a little much.
So you just two voices.
I just self-talk. So it's not like I'm saying Manning do this, Manning do that. I actually though, now that I just said it out loud, I have said my name to myself before.
Yeah.
I have done that before. But it's more of just literally having, and I find it to be like kind of our fifth dimension is that you can have a conversation with yourself in your head without speaking. Like you
100%.
Can, like you're talking to yourself by your thoughts. So your thoughts you have, and it's also like, you're going to have different thoughts on different things. And so you got to work that out in your head before you respond. And what I would like to get better at, and what I'm working on daily, is thinking more before I respond, you know, like waiting, like not being so quick to respond, or to react, I should say, you know, like it's just thinking about it, mull over it, pros and cons, and then respond with the right, with, you know, and again, if it's right, it's right. If it's wrong, it's wrong. But at least you thought about it. At least it didn't just fly out of your mouth, you know?
Well, that's great awareness though, that you have to recognize that voice in your head that's negative sometimes,
mm-hmm.
and combating it with a positive, because when you recognize that, which I've tried to do, it's unbelievable how much negativity subconsciously we will say to ourselves. And just
it's amazing when
you start to see it and recognize it, it's unbelievable.
It's crazy.
But then when you have the awareness of seeing it, it's almost like you're viewing it from a third person.
Right.
You're just viewing that negative voice thing. You can combat it just like you're doing with positive thought.
Yes, 100%. And then also too, what you read, what you listen to,
what you surround yourself with,
these kind of conversations. Like, what kind of conversations are you having today? Are you having meaningful conversations? Are you having just like chatty conversations? Like, is there any depth to what you're talking with your friends about, your coworkers about? Or are you just kind of going through life talking about nonsense? You know, like I want to have these kind of conversations on a daily basis because I know that it's going to make me grow as a human being. I mean, we're not spring chickens anymore. And it's like I want to start learning and then applying as much as possible right now. So that's actually one of the main reasons I did the podcast, is because every time I do it, I'm learning from my guests. And I'm like, and then we're like, I'm seeing everybody's different perspectives, which I've always have found fascinating. I've always been one to like really at least try to understand another person's perspective. I might not agree but let's at least talk it out. And that was like probably one of the toughest things during the pandemic. And I'm sure you dealt with this too, is because I literally could not wrap my head around some people's perspective. And it almost forced me to have a greater sense of empathy than I've ever had in my life, because I could not wrap my head around why certain people were doing certain things during that time. And I know you felt the same way.
Well, and the pandemic for me, one of the big takeaways for me with the pandemic was like, you got to keep your circle tight and you got to surround yourself with people that think how you think. That doesn't mean you don't have people with different perspectives, but I mean, from a positive standpoint, that aren't thinking and acting in fear, that, you know, are being courageous in their daily actions. You know, and courage doesn't mean just, you know, running into a burning building and saving lives. I mean, you can do acts of courage every day. And so what the pandemic showed me is that there are people out there that you're not gonna change their perspective,
right?
No matter what.
Right.
And so that's all right, that's their road to walk. And my road is my road to walk. But if I'm gonna walk my road, I wanna be around people that motivate me, that inspire me, and that have the same kind of principles. So right. I kind of just like wash my hands of it. But at first
and
I
we
was
talked
like
about
trying
that,
to
right?
take on the whole world. Like, what are you thinking? And, you know, and first of all, who am I to judge?
Right.
Who am I to say I'm right, they're wrong? But if I'm gonna walk my road, I wanna do it with people that motivate me. And some of the people during that pandemic, the way they were thinking didn't motivate me worth a damn.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be around that.
Yep.
So, you know, your circle is everything. You said, you know, having the conversations that you have on a daily basis, that they're positive. Like, you know, I can think of, you know, 5 to 8 people that if I had to choose to talk to on a daily basis, that would be it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, maybe talk about that a little bit of how and this has happened to me. And again, just tell me if it's similar for you. Is like the older I get, the smaller my circle gets.
No
question. The more successful I get, the smaller my circle gets. And when I say you outgrow my circle, I mean like intimate circle, you know, text
you
and phone
circles.
Calls, whatever. Not necessarily the size, because you're obviously a growing business. You're expanding.
Yeah.
In terms of reach and employees and things like that. But at the same time, simultaneously in your private life, you're shrinking. Talk about why you think that happens a little bit.
Oh, it's 100% happened to me. It happens like daily. And I think that you outgrow certain relationships, and it's not knocking those relationships. I think that people come into your life. We come into each other's lives to learn.
Right.
And then you've taken what you had and then you move on. And so as I get older, I think my goals get bigger. The type of person I want to be and the type of life I want to live becomes even a higher demand.
Yeah.
And so
the standards keep going up.
So the people that you're going to surround yourself with become less and less unless they have those same kind of standards.
Yeah.
And it's just how it is.
I mean, I feel like I've scared most people off by
having
a drive that is not. I just recently gave a tour to a new landlord that I'm about to have in Nashville, and he looked me in the eye and he's like, Why don't you just want what you have? Why are you trying to expand? And I was just like, and it was real interesting that he asked me that. And I was
an interesting question.
Yeah, it was, especially from your landlord. Like, it was just very unique. And I didn't even like hesitate. I just was like, because that's not what I want. Like, I don't want to be what I am. I want to be what I can be, like, constantly. And I think we never, ever reach that point, like, ever. Like,
no, you don't.
You know, like, you could be 89 and you still can learn, you can still grow.
And that's why people are like, well, when's enough's enough? And, you know, when do you think it's never enough?
Never enough.
You're either hardwired to constantly want to grow and constantly want to set the bar higher and higher and higher, or you're not.
Right.
But there's.
And that has to be, that's either in you or it's not in you.
I think that's either in you or it's not in you.
Yep.
And I think that the one way to get that, though, if that doesn't maybe just come fully naturally to you, you talked about the why, is have your why be outside yourself.
Yeah.
You know, I think of like, I mean, our why at the company, one, it's to continue the legacy that our father built, but our why is also for our associates and team members. It's like, we got 300 people. If our company isn't successful, what's going to happen to those people?
Right.
I mean, they're married, they have kids, yeah, they have families. Their livelihood rely on our success and their success. So then you think about communities that you're impacting. And so, you know, when you make that why purposeful and outside yourself, technically you should then never stop or want to stop.
Right. And there's always a new person.
There's always a new person.
There's always a new,
because there's always a new community. There's always something.
Yeah. One of the things I've really enjoyed lately is obviously we're expanding in all areas and bringing on new employees and letting them like really, like you said, like the onboarding process of like letting them understand why we do what we do, how we do what we do, you know, when we do what we do, like all these things, and showing them what our culture is all about. And honestly, seeing if they're going to either add value or they're not going to last, you know, and it's like, you find out pretty fast most of the time.
You do. So. And it's like, you got there's leadership where you lead by example. There's leadership where you help your people become leaders. And then I think that third tier of leadership, which is the absolute best when I think companies just soar, is when the leaders that you help become leaders are now helping people under them become leaders.
No, that's amazing.
That's when it's just.
Have you read 17, the 17 Undisputed Laws of Teamwork by
no.
Maxwell, John Maxwell?
No.
You gotta read that. You'll love it. Yeah, yeah, it talks exactly about that. I actually wanna talk a little bit about just business a little bit in terms of innovation. And one thing I was gonna ask you, because I obviously I'm gonna try to get involved with you in some capacity, sure, at some point, is I really wanna change in multifamily, hotel, major developments like this. I wanna change the mindset that the gym is an afterthought. I really think that we're heading into an era and a time period where there's a heightened sense of awareness of health, that people want convenience more than anything. They want a certain level of service. They want a certain level of facility. They want a certain level of fitness. And I am tired or annoyed, have you, that hotel gyms are afterthoughts, multifamily gyms are, you know, afterthoughts. And are you guys kind of doing anything on that level or to kind of, you know, plant the seed? Would you like to? Because I think we could solve that problem for you. But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, on the multifamily side, no, we aren't, but yes, we are, because we've had conversations with you on that. So, I mean, I think it's spot on from the standpoint of health and fitness and all that. I mean, I do know of some groups looking into these, I don't know if you call them fitness hotels, but they're hotels around the work traveler that's into health and fitness. Mm-hmm. So instead of the mini bar being Kit Kat, Snickers and all of that, you know, it's like protein bars and the bar downstairs, instead of it just being cocktails, there's like a smoothie type bar in that. So I know people in the hospitality industry are thinking that way. We're not so much hospitality. I think on the multifamily side, you and I have talked about it, having a gym that actually is a real gym in these apartment complexes.
For example, like, so we're in a residential unit right now, and we obviously took a retail space, but they have a fifth floor gym in the residential side, and it's a ghost town. You know, it's a lot of square, it's huge, but nobody ever uses it. And one of the main reasons is because there's no guidance, there's no atmosphere, there's no energy, there's no, you know, there's no amenities, things like that. And so for me, what if we got at the ground level? So before they even broke ground, before they even did architectural drawings, and we make this the amenity of the entire building. So now it's like, you're not renting out a retail space and having a gym that nobody uses. Like, now you're combining forces.
Yeah, it's a true attraction. Yeah. And I mean, what you're doing there is you're just thinking of differentiators and how to essentially separate yourself from the rest of essentially society on what's going on.
Right.
And for our business, I mean, look, we develop warehouses and we develop retail centers.
You just did a huge warehouse, right?
In
Florida, right?
Yeah, we got some million square footers
going. It was
going.
Insane, yeah.
Yeah, it's the park in Florida is 5 million square feet. We developed about a million.
And they're like fulfillment centers? Is that?
Yeah, fulfillment. Yeah. We got FedEx, Amazon. We're doing some cold storage and things like
that. Amazing.
But, you know, from our standpoint in terms of innovation, with a development, for instance, it's thinking about, you know, where you can go. Like that site that was in Port St. Lucie, you know, everybody was like, Port St. Lucie, what the heck are you going to do warehouse there for? Don't you want to be in Miami and this and that? But when you start really looking at things from a different perspective and you look at Port St. Lucie in terms of how much population within a 2-hour radius you can hit being in Port St. Lucie, you look at the cost of wages for people there versus in Miami,
right,
for labor, for these big million square foot warehouses, the cost of labor is really important to them. You look at, you know, the rooftops, what they cost. You saw that all of the majority of the workers in Port St. Lucie are driving 1 hour and 2 hours south for their work. How much better would it be if they could work right there in their backyards?
Right. So
there's all these different dynamics.
And then land is cheaper.
And then land is cheaper and everything else. But, you know, at the time when we got that site, people are like, what are you doing?
Right.
You know, but when you put it all together, it actually works out. And, you know, in our business, like industrial right now is a hot topic. Multifamily is a hot topic. But our father was great with this and always taught us this. You got to be, it's a thinking man's game. You've got to be thinking 3 years, 5 years ahead.
Always, always.
And trying to literally be a fortune teller,
mm-hmm,
of, okay, where is industrial warehousing going? Where are the retail centers going? Like when we owned our retail shopping centers, we saw what was happening with e-commerce and people were going online, doing a lot of shopping,
right,
and everything else. That made us pivot and get into that industrial game. We did that almost 10 years ago.
Okay.
And so it's always looking to the future on where the next trend is going to be. And what you're talking about is essentially starting a new trend.
Yeah, for sure. 100%.
At the end of the day, it's a lot of common sense.
Yeah.
And it just takes thinking and like what you're talking about, to me, makes all the sense in the world, but Right. Nobody's done it.
Well, I think,
and the
reason why
ideas are sometimes the simplest.
And don't you think too, the reason why is because most developers are only thinking about the bottom line. And then Sure. Also too, people get into these
a group
plug and play. This is how we do things. This is what it costs. Then this and that's it. And then they just do the next one and do the next one and do the next one. And I believe that you have to, instead of trying to compete, instead of trying to be the best at something, I think it's very important to invent something, create something and own it and be the best at the only person doing it.
You're spot on. And you have, what you said is exactly why new ideas sometimes don't happen. It's plug and play. They're successful. You're checking the boxes. I call it in my calendar, and I'm glad we're having this discussion because I haven't done it in about a month. I call it the next big thing. It's a category in my calendar, and I like to put an hour a week, just 1 hour, where all I do is think about the next big thing.
Love it.
It's an idea session.
Yeah, yeah.
It might be on a Saturday morning with a cup of coffee with a notepad.
Right.
Okay, but what you're talking about
Yeah. Is
exactly it. And you just have to pause, step back and be like, all right, now hold on. Now what's that next big thing idea that I need to work on?
And I'll give you something to think about. One way you can start
it.
One way you can start that is by identifying the biggest problem.
Exactly, 100%.
Because when you identify a problem, Yeah. It needs a solution. And so to me, like, we have a problem in the United States. We are the fattest country in the world by far.
That's
like
insane.
It is disgusting how, and I don't mean that like derogatory, it's disgusting.
No, it's the truth,
though. The fact that we have so many resources and we all know what to do, but no one is making a, no one is being intentional in setting up a world or a United States that actually is really helping people. And I think we saw that during the pandemic.
How'd you come to that idea? Like, do you set aside time during your week to think about stuff like that? Like,
so for me, so I wake up every single morning at 4 o'clock. And so I have a good solid, like a good solid 2 to almost 3 hours where it's just
thinking,
working out, cold plunge, sauna, thinking, reading, you know, whatever it may be, like that morning time where nobody else is up.
Isn't it the best?
And it's the best. And but I will say it's a gift and a curse. My mind never stops really. Like it's like always thinking and trying to solve problems and do things and be the next big thing, like you said. So for me, it's always been, I wake up, it's funny that you said, because I need to practice this. I love that you said you wake up with gratitude and you wake up. I kind of wake up in a panic.
Yeah. Right.
Like I'm not doing enough.
Right.
So, I got to stop that. It's been happening for, probably my whole life. And, I wake up with like the need to do more. I think it drives me, obviously, but I think I need to channel it in a healthier way, obviously.
You'll do more if you give yourself a minute to just sit, to be thankful, heck, even meditate 10 minutes, because you'll be more intentional. Because exactly. The reason why I say that, I'm like you are.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually have a guy that I work with. He's unbelievable. Mark Devine, Commander, Navy SEAL. He's just, the guy is brilliant with his thinking. And just this box breathing in the morning.
I love box, yeah.
No thinking at all.
Right.
And you tap into, you mentioned 10 minutes ago about that higher consciousness. Mm-hmm. You really tap into that. It's beyond your thinking brain. And you tap into this higher consciousness. It's almost just like a place of peace and silence. And man, when you can tap into that, you cannot be stopped.
For me, it's been the cold plunge for me because
you have to.
Forces you. So I have a hard time sitting still. So it forces me to sit still because you ain't moving around in 36 degrees.
Yeah.
It forces me to box breathe because if you don't, you'll panic breathe and you're not allowed to. And then you talk about conversations. Boy, you are having some intense conversations in there with yourself. And then the sauna, the same thing. But both of those
that's
are
your
tremendous.
Time then to be.
Yeah, both of those are tremendous.
Yeah.
Because, you know, no phone, no nothing. Let's end with... And I say this sometimes with guests, and I think I did one recently, and the guy responded with that, like, our experiences are what give us the ability to give advice, and sometimes it's what we go through, so it's not necessarily relatable to other people. But that being said, do you have any kind of like, these are my life rules that I think might help people? And again, it might not, but for you, they help you, obviously. So I think when we take a little bit of what works for us and we share it with the world, that there will be someone out there that could apply that maybe that works for them too.
I mean, I got a lot of stuff, rituals and stuff that I do in the mornings and all that. But I mean, I think if I was just giving out advice, it'd be pretty easy. And one is to practice humility, to just stay humble in today's world. Second is to go easy on yourself. Love yourself, because if you don't love yourself, if you don't take care of yourself, if you don't get the proper exercise, put the proper things in your system, you're not going to be able to love anybody else. And then you're not going to be able to be your best. And I feel the people in today's world, they'll see people on Instagram that are in great shape and like getting up at 4 a.m. and doing all this stuff. And then they get up one day at 7 and then they go off the wagon. And I feel like in today's world, people have to practice loving themselves and not being so damn hard on themselves and not underestimating the power they have as a human being to impact people around them. And the reason why I talk about humility is I see so many arrogant people around.
Right.
None of us can get anywhere without the help of each other. And I think about that in our business. We are nothing without our people. And then the third thing I'd say is get a why that's bigger than yourself. Yourself is the ego. It doesn't mean a damn thing. Don't go to the gym because you want to get a six pack. Go to the gym because you want to be a father that when you're older, you can still play ball with your kids. Or you want to be there for your wife. Or you want to be there for your people at work. or you just want to live a healthy life. Have your why be outside yourself. And when you've got that kind of motivation, you won't be stopped.
Mic drop.
Mic drop. That was awesome. That's the way to end the podcast right there.